and at Calvary, and I've studied this afternoon that there is a people. And that was my thought, and that was my message. But I'd rather say what the Lord had me to say than be comfortable in my own might behind this pulpit. If you have your Bibles, if you turn it to Ephesians chapter number 1. You know, I was thinking there on the front row, there's millions and millions of people tonight gathered in homes that's prepared, that's took time and effort and spent money to watch a game, watch the Super Bowl, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But and there's churches in this area tonight that's even gathered together as a group to watch this special game. But I'm glad God's got a people that still desires and still gets excited to come to the house of God. That was my message. Now we'll preach God's message. There my burden, soul found liberty at Calvary. The old rugged cross. Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for our health that we was able to come into the house of God tonight. Father, I pray tonight, Father, you'd help us preach the word of God. Lord, you know what we've studied, and you know, Father, what needs to be said. And I pray, Father, that you would honor the reading of your word. Lord, that you'd stir our hearts and minds, that you'd visit with us tonight. Lord, we'll bless you and we'll thank you for all that's done here. And Father, we realize if anything's accomplished, it's because of you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, once a blasphemer. Paul, once a persecutor. Paul, once a religious zealot. Paul, once a man that was lost. Paul, once a man that imprisoned Christians. Paul, once that said he was chief among sinners. Now saying, apostle of Jesus Christ. Can you think back before you were saved? The condition that you were in, the places you went, the deeds you performed, the words that you spoke, the lifestyle that you lived. You say, preacher, I grew up in church. I was a good person. I didn't do much of those wicked, awful, ungodly sins that we hear and read about. God does not save good people. God does not save righteous people. God does not save holy people. God does not save church members. God does not save the rich. He does not save the poor. He does not save the young. And he does not save the old. But God saves sinners. I'm thankful for that song that was sung this morning. I'm so glad God saves old sinners. God saved Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Can you remember before you were saved? Paul now saying, I'm an apostle. Paul also said that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ, he came into this world to save sinners, who I am chief. I'm thankful tonight God saves sinners. But now Paul's saying he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's a messenger. He's one that's been sent. He's one that has a message to tell. He's one that has something to herald. He now has something to tell people. He said he's an apostle of Christ. I have a story to tell. I have something to share. But it's by the will of God. It's God's will, not my will. It wasn't your wishes. It wasn't your desires. It wasn't your wants that God saved you. But it was God's good pleasure. It was God's will. It was God's choice to make Paul an apostle. I'm glad God does what he wants to do. I'm glad God chooses to save. I'm glad God chooses to visit with us. I'm glad God chooses to save and redeem you and I tonight. He chose to love us. He chose to visit with us. He's chosen, He desires to help us in our time of need. It's God's will that we're here tonight. Look at verse number 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in our text where grace, notice in our text where peace comes from. Notice where joy, notice where this rest, notice where this favor that Paul's talking about comes from. It doesn't come within a bottle. It doesn't come from another relationship. It doesn't come from making large sums of money or having a large bank account. If that was the case, Hollywood would be in a different state tonight. But it comes from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I was preaching on Moses and how Moses desired to see God. Moses desired to be in the presence of God. Moses desired to see the glory of God. And he desired to be a place in his life where the presence of God rested and abided with him continually. He prayed God. He said, God, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses had a desire. Moses had a determination to get to a place in his life that he communed with his Creator. And I preached on that thought when God told Moses, there is a place by me. And he put Moses there in the cleft of the rock, and there as he passed by, he covered him with his hand. And Moses saw the God's glory, and Moses was never the same. And I'll submit to you tonight, when God will show you his glory, and when he redeems you, and he saves you by his precious blood, you will never be the same. And I want to continue on that thought tonight. Not that there is a place by me, but there is a Redeemer. You don't have to turn. But I wrote there on that first pew, Ruth. Ruth, chapter number 13. The Bible says, it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. There is a Redeemer. There is a kinsman tonight. That word kinsman means one that redeems. That word kinsman needs ones that purchased. That word kinsman needs one that's purchased or paid a price. I'm glad you and I can say tonight that we have a Redeemer. We have a Redeemer in Jesus Christ. This Redeemer, God's Holy Son, shed His blood for you and I. We stood there on that auction block, shackled in our sin, chained in guilt. We were clothed in our unrighteousness. But there's one that came by. There's one saw us in our need, in our time of help, and purchased us. He saw that we couldn't pay the sin debt. He saw that we cannot get out of this awful state that we're in. So He delivered you and I. He redeemed you and I. He purchased you and I. That someone was Jesus Christ, God's only darling Son. There was only one thing. There was only one thing that He could do. There was only one thing that could purchase you and I. You and I were in a great fix. We were in a heap of trouble. But Jesus Christ came by. There was only one thing that could redeem you and I. There is a Redeemer tonight. His name's Jesus Christ. There was a young boy who lost his left arm, and there he would grew up as a young child and into his young adulthood as just having one right arm. He grew up and he had a low self-esteem. He grew up and he wanted to be like all the other children. to play on team sports, to play with the other children, to be part of a team. Had a low self-esteem. So his parents, when he was young, took him and wanted to get him involved in some activities, and they took him to a karate instructor and asked this karate instructor if he would teach their son karate. He told him no, that he couldn't help him. But he referred him to a gentleman across town, a judo instructor. And he went and these parents asked this judo instructor, said, "Our son has a low self-esteem and he's down on himself and he shies away from the other children. Can you help him and teach him some type of activity to regain his confidence?" This judo instructor, in all of his wisdom, told his parents, he said, "If he'll do what I tell him to do, I can help him." So the first week went by, and the young boy comes home, and their parents ask him, said, "How did the judo lessons go?" He said, "They went good. He taught me one move." The second week goes by, and he comes home. They ask him, they said, "Stevie, how did practice go? How did the judo lessons go?" He said, "I'm still working on that one move." Third week goes by. He comes home, and they begin to question him. They begin to ask him. He said, "Mom, Dad, all he's teaching me is this one move." The fourth week goes by. He comes home, and there he begins getting down on himself because he don't think he can do as the other children. And they said, "Mom, Dad, he's only teaching me one move." So his parents got a little upset. They called the instructor. They thought he was making fun of their son. They thought that he was putting their son to shame. This money they were paying was going to waste. The judo instructor answers the phone. He said, "I'm so glad you called. I'd like to enter your son into the county tournament." After a long time of thought and talking to their son, they decided to go ahead and enter him into that tournament. This young boy had his first match. With one right arm, he pinned him in 15 seconds. True story. Makes it to the second round. Minute and a half, pins him. Third round, a couple minutes go by, he pins this young man. This young boy made it to the finals. And there he's fixing to do his judo skills and to be crowned the county champion. He's seen all these other children doing this judo. And that match begins, and they begin to dance around, and he thinks that he's going to do something else. He thinks he's going to try to do some other moves that he saw these children do, and he about gets beat. 2.5 minutes go by. He pins him. He's crowned judo champion of the county. And all that congratulations and all that fame and all that notoriety, the parents go to the judo instructor. Say, "We don't understand. We want to thank you for teaching our son judo, but we don't understand how our son, with only one good arm, can pin these other boys." He said, "What you don't understand, I taught your son the hardest move in judo. It's the hardest move to learn. It's the hardest move to master. But not only that, it's the hardest move to escape from." He said, "To escape from this move, you can only do one thing. You have to grab the left arm." See, that young man knew only to do one thing. That one thing that he was taught. There was one thing that Jesus Christ had to do. There was only one thing that could redeem you and I. And that was to shed his precious blood. The blood of Christ. There's one blood. There's one salvation. There's one baptism. There's one faith. There's one God, there's one Son, the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 7. There is a Redeemer. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." In whom we have redemption through his blood. Through, by, because the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I are redeemed tonight. That one thing, the blood of Christ. You say, what makes this blood so special? What makes this blood so special? What makes it so different? I see it's a redeeming blood. This blood, as they sing, it can liberate you and I. This blood tonight can set men free. This blood tonight delivers men even today. The redeeming blood of Christ. The blood of goats. It would only suffice for a short period of time. The blood of calves would have to flow again. In silver and gold, it was corruptible. But the blood of Christ, it'll never grow old. The blood of Christ is incorruptible. That blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary as he marched up that hill and those Roman soldiers pierced his hands and they pierced his feet and that Roman soldier took the spear and pierced his side and from with come blood and water. And God was saying, it satisfies, it satisfies, it satisfies. The blood of Christ, it's a redeeming blood. It may grow old in some of our Baptist churches. This blood may have been removed out of some hymns. But this blood of Christ, it's a redeeming blood. Tonight we're here because of the blood of Christ. I'm thankful for His blood. That blood, because of that blood, you and I were justified tonight. Because of the blood of Christ, we're declared righteous. Because of the blood of Christ, we've been set free and pronounced clean. It's the blood of Christ. There's a song, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. When he sees me, he doesn't see me as I am. When he sees me holy. The blood of Christ, redeeming blood. It's sufficient for all. It's sufficient for every man, for every woman, for every child, for every boy, for every girl. For the blood of Christ, from the sinner that's in the street, from the sinner that's on the pew, the blood of Christ is sufficient. It's a redeeming blood. The redeeming blood of Christ. It says in verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. I was thinking about the redemption. John, over in Revelations, chapter number 5, verse number 9. He saw those 24 elders and he saw those four beasts and they began to sing a new song. And there they sing this song and it goes, for thou wast slain. And hast redeemed us by God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. This blood's special tonight because it's a redeeming blood. This blood's special because it's liberated you and I. But not only is it a redeeming blood, I see that it is a rich blood. Peter, he talked about this blood, the precious blood of Christ. It's a blood that's precious, that was esteemed dearly, that's held in high regards, that's very special, that's very precious, that's very pricely. This blood is more valuable than gold, more valuable than silver. Those perish, they fade away, but the blood of Christ never grows old. The blood of Christ is still in the mercy seat today, and that blood of Christ is still held in high regard to God the Father. The blood of Christ. Blood. Preaching on the blood is not popular in our churches today. But I'm glad it took the blood to redeem you and I. I'm redeemed, but not with silver. I'm redeemed, but not with gold. Bought with a price, the blood of Jesus, this precious price of love untold. This blood is valuable. This blood is priceless, it's dear, it's precious, and it's highly rich and esteemed in God's sight. Without this blood, you and I would still be lost. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. I'm glad Jesus Christ was faithful in shedding His blood. You say, what's special about this blood? I see, first of all, it was a redeeming blood. What's special about this blood? It's a rich blood. But I also see it was a restoring blood. He said in verse 7, whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sin. Because of this blood, because of the forgiveness of sin, it's a restoring blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. It will restore you tonight. This blood, it will refine you tonight. This blood will reinstate you tonight. This blood will renew you tonight. It's a restoring blood. It's a redeeming blood. It's a rich blood. There's nothing that you've done that God cannot restore you if you'll just ask Him to apply this blood. I've seen the most vilest sinners become the sweetest saints because of this restoring blood of Jesus Christ. As I said earlier, think about Paul, who said he was chiefest among sinners. Now was probably one of the greatest preachers we've ever said, ever heard, and wrote more of the New Testament than any other man. What was your state before the blood? Where were you at before the blood of Christ? I think we all need to say thank you, God, for the blood. Thank you, God, for shedding your blood. Amen. This restoring blood. This redeeming blood. This rich blood. It was God's blood. But not only was it restoring, not only it was redeeming, not only it was rich, but it was a royal blood. The blood from God the Father. It wasn't tainted. It wasn't contaminated. John the Baptist stood there on the shores of the Jordan River. And there saw Jesus Christ. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was led to slaughter, but never opened his mouth. There he shed his blood so you and I could be liberated. There he shed his blood for you and I can go free. There he shed his blood that tonight we can stand righteous and justified in God the Father's sight. The blood of Christ. It offers us the forgiveness of sin. I'm glad I'm forgiven tonight. I'm glad I'm redeemed tonight. I'm glad I'm justified because the blood of Christ. Nothing that I've done, but it was God shedding His blood. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. I'm thankful for the blood of Christ, the blood of Jesus. We would still be lost tonight if it wasn't for His blood. There is a Redeemer. His name's Jesus. How did He redeem you and I? How did He set you and I free? As they sang that song, we're liberated tonight. Why are we liberated? Because of the blood of Christ. I'm thankful for the blood. The blood of Jesus. Father, we thank You for the blood. Thank You, Father, for shedding the blood. Lord, it's not popular in many of our churches. Father, they say it's old and they say it's old-fashioned. But Lord, I stand tonight before You, washed in Your blood. Thank You, Father, for the blood that You shed for me. But not only for me, but for every kindred, every tongue, every nation, everyone here. Lord, You shed that rich blood, that redeeming blood, that restoring blood. And Lord, I thank You for the blood. We love You tonight. And Lord, if there's any among us that's never accepted that blood for the atonement of their sins, I pray, Father, that You'd speak to them, You'd convict them, and let them see their need of a Savior. It's in the name of Christ I pray. Amen.